Just sit down. Okay, as you're getting your Bibles open, is that right? I'm going to ask Chris to come up, but I forgot to introduce Chris. So those who weren't here last week, Chris has been a friend of Dagenham Parish for a very long time. Yeah. Very good friend. And you're just up the road, really.
That's right.
Harrow Woods.
And yeah, I do bring greetings for the gang at St. Peter's Harrow Wood. They're surprised you invited me back for a second week. And they're praying for us today. Isn't that great? That partnership in the gospel today. It's just brilliant. And so it's really good to be here. And doesn't the week go fast? If you missed last week, I'll have a little recap in a minute. But let's dive into God's word, our second reading. On page 1173, the first reading we had was basically made alive in Christ. And now this bit, that's Ephesians 2, 11 to 22, one in Christ. Oh, this is just brilliant. You get your head around this. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who... Actually, before that, sorry, just to say this church in Ephesus had Christians from a Jewish background and Christians from a Gentile background. And that's the big division in the ancient world between Jews and Gentiles. So he's writing to people with two very distinct backgrounds. Let's do that again. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time, you Gentiles, were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenant promises, and without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you who are once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. For he is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to you who were near. And through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We're just not some rickety old building at a corner, you know, falling down, old and cold. Isn't it just marvelous? I don't really have to say anything. Do you want me to say something? I suppose I'm better at night. Yeah. Ephesians. It is absolutely marvelous, isn't it? And the two main themes you'll see already in Ephesians, the first theme is this. The purposes of God, the good news of Jesus through the Savior, the Rescuer, the Giver of new life, the purposes of God are unstoppable. And secondly, he brings these magnificent purposes about through his church, you and me, his special people. It's absolutely mind-blowing, isn't it? Let's pray, and then we'll have a look at this passage in a bit more detail. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are such a good God to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have great plans and purposes for us. We thank you that you have made us special, each one of us. We thank you for this church, this gathering of your people in Dagenham, which you established this years and years and years ago, and you sustain it. And now, Lord, for this morning, thank you, you've called us to sit at your feet. And Lord, we ask that you would teach us what we need to know as your family, to please you in the way we live, but to go out and in the daily things of our life, be a visual aid to the glory and joy of Jesus. Amen.
Just a little bit of an advert then for Ephesus. There we are. There's Ephesus, right in the middle of the town. It's still there. It's the gateway in the Roman Empire between east and west. 250,000 people lived in Ephesus. It was a very a bit like London, really. Cosmopolitan, loads of bars, loads of duck down, loads of trade, loads of everything in Ephesus. If you get off the bus to get into Ephesus at the harbour, you see the Arcadian Way leading up to the magnificent 24,000 seater Ephesus down lights, even as a really in broad. It's the Arcadian Way. Leads you into this glorious city with its buildings that are lying there, still there in Ephesus. But at a time where we even had all the wood, we lived in caves where we were going home. But the one thing about Ephesus that the walls there is here, that everybody lived in the shadow of, was this incredible temple to Artemis. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. They had weeks of celebration for this goddess, and people from all around the known world, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It's, I was saying last week, in 70 people happened on the view. They had the low standing in front of it properly, sitting on the top. This is 4 times the time of that. This is incredible. And in this place of Ephesus, the Lord Jesus put people, lots of little churches all around Ephesus. Do you know what church in Ephesus is? I've got a picture of it. The thing is, it's the same as the church in Arrowwood. It's the same as the church in Ephesus. That is a church in Ephesus. That is a church in Bangor. That is a church in Harrogood. That why is the church is not a crappy old building? Why is the church? It's people. All sorts of people. All sorts of folks. God appointed me. But God handpicked and chosen. My volunteers and I will be called out with the church in Ephesus. He chose you by name personally to be a part of his wonderful family. Now, fear of running is different. The only downside of that is that I'm your brother. The alternative, but we get used to it. But if God has handpicked us, he's chosen us, he's redeemed us, he's covered us, he's seen us for a greater mercy. He's done that for Jesus, there is, and he's done it all. There's no room for anyone. God has not been in heights. We have two people who we love that much that he died for them. And he gave them new life for eternity. And he hand-shifted you to be in this church family for this period of time. That changes everything, doesn't it? Not just here because you're bored or something done you want, you know, to get out of the sun. God can fix you to be with him, to be his body, to be his bride, to be his people. I did not grow up in church. I never knew this stuff. I thought my back to a church is an old and cold. Now, to get to a Corinthians 3, the glory about this is God. If you want to be conceived to be successful, same as you did there, if you want to be conceived to be successful, it costs a lot of money and it scours the whole world for good footballers. And end up, 7 years later, spent about £19 billion. The best. Just about we can have a big amount of money. And this might be the best way to do it. Let's see the people too. Because you can find the best place in the world to get on with it. It is a bit, you know. It's difficult out in that world. It's really going to need some big players. You know, the front door is open, you know, get the trip out. You need to. Like that.
Please open with me in Ephesians. That was just the intro. Now we're going to get to the real stuff. These are the people he... I'm sorry. These are the people that God chooses. You got it with me? You got it? You're looking at it? As for you, as for us, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. You were spiritually dead. I was a spiritual corpse, dead in my transgressions. That means it's deliberately going the wrong way. And you know that way. It's my way. And everybody's sung that, from the Muppets to Frank Sinatra. We're all singing my way. Even as Christians, it's still there, isn't it? You were dead in your transgressions, going your own way, and in your sins. That's an archery term. It's like, anyone good at archery? I never was. But you know, he's got the bullseye, you aim at it. This word sins means missing the mark, falling short, not getting there, not making it, not morally good enough. So who does Jesus sign up for his world-beating team? Those who are going the wrong way and those who are not good enough. Well, that's a recipe for relegation, isn't it? But God knows what he's doing. Remember last week about chosen. He never gets it wrong and he never makes mistakes and he never changes his mind about you. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's the evil one. He's orchestrating it all from behind. He's so clever. He's got half the world thinking it don't even exist. So he gets on with what he's doing until later. The Spirit is now working us who are disobedient. That's the hallmark of someone who's not a Christian, is someone who's disobedient. All of us. I also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. That is a strong word. Do you have gratifying cravings? Do you know the thing I sort of crave for? It's chocolate. I once really wrecked our house trying to find a bar of Kit Kat that I thought I'd left somewhere. This deep craving, but our craving is not for chocolate. Our craving is not for Kit Kat. It's our sinful nature. And we have to still live with that, this side of eternity, this side of heaven, still there. All of us also live with them at the one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Do you know when I first heard this, and I heard a preacher, objects of wrath. Do you know what he said it was? You're like some obnoxious heavy metal man. Objects of wrath. Not a pretty sight compared with the matchless purity of the Lord of the universe. How Jesus can have even been in the same room as me is astounding. As us, this holy, pure Jesus, who says God can't even look on evil. As us proudly wearing the t-shirt, objects of wrath. That's, you can say, well, thanks, Chris. You really made my day. I'm really pleased I've come out of the, you know, for this. But look at verse 4. Some great buts in the Bible. Two here this morning. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, that is God not giving us what we deserve. Objects of wrath don't deserve a lot of good stuff from a holy God, do they? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. He's given us a new life, even when we were dead in transgressions. I didn't even have to pass a test to get morally bet enough. I didn't have to make sure I proved to God I turned round and was going in way. Well, I'm still doing those things. He saved me. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace. We've been singing it. It's by grace you have been saved. If mercy is God not giving us, you know, what we deserve, which is judgment and exclusion, he gives grace. Is God giving us what we don't deserve, which is forgiveness and love and acceptance and a welcome home. Do you know that? You've received that? If you haven't received that yet, if you still haven't received God's mercy and grace, you could have been coming here for ages. But, you know, that self going my way is still there. If you haven't yet, say, Lord, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Please forgive me. Do it soon. Do it now. You don't want to miss out any longer, do you? And look, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Well, hang on a minute. I'm not sitting in the heavenly realms. I've been sitting on a blue chair there. What does he mean? What Paul and often then the Lord will say, it is such a done deal that we will get to heaven. He talks about a future event as if it's a past thing and already done. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he will get you there. Job done. Sealed by the resurrection. By Jesus conquering sin and death. And so Paul can write, it's such, you honestly, dear brothers and sisters, we were only just saying this just now. We have such a glorious future. Guaranteed. We had it last week as well, guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. Know that. And we've got a glorious presence as well, knowing him in his family. Verse 7, in order in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Have a think about it. Kindness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. I'll tell you what, if your faith has got a bit weak and wobbly today, when you've got, next got a minute, just think of the kindness of God for you today. How has God been kind to you? Well, he's got you through a dangerous night. He's got us into a new day. He's given us the sunshine. He's given us brothers and sisters. He's given us a relationship with his own son. That's how God has been kind to us. Think about that, because we tend to think about the wrong things too much. And our society does that. I was just saying, I think we need to turn on the news so we know what's going on. But I don't turn it on till 10:30 at night because it's so miserable. It'll ruin me day. That he might show the incomparable riches of his kindness, expressing his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And now this grace, it's all by grace, right? But it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Oh, that's our bit then. No. And this faith, that's not from yourselves either. Even that is a gift of God. It's all gift. Why? Well, look at it, verse 9. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We love boasting. We do, don't we? We do. Come on, get real. We do. Even as Christians. But this is nothing we've done about this. We've done nothing. No merit, no earning, no nothing. It's all gift. It's all gift from God. But where do works play then? Someone said, well, it's all gift by God. You can do what you like then. You've got your ticket in heaven. Look at verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, we're not saved by works, but we are saved for good works. All our life is a thank offering that Jesus, thank you for doing all that for me, which I couldn't possibly do myself. And I want to live for you. I want to do the things that please you. And you know a relationship's on the skids when you stop wanting to do that and start pleasing yourself and the other one starts annoying you too much. We have this church, you as part of it, has tremendous good works to do for Jesus that he has hand-picked and hand-appointed for you to do. So joyfully together, and me, let's joyfully go into the next day. Lord, what good work do you want me to do for you tomorrow, today? So it's not in some sort of, you know, to pass an exam. All my grandchildren are up their ear rolls in exams. It's awful, isn't it? People, what do you, you know, we didn't have to see it in the exam and pass an exam. Jesus has done it, but he wants us to please him in the way we live. To say thank you. And in verse 11, this great divide in the ancient world between the Jews and the Gentiles was the hostility of that. So the Jews, they prided on themselves. The sign of being a Jew was circumcision. And they were pleased that they were God's special people. But the little bit on the scroll in Genesis 12 that says, and through God says to them, I'll give you a land. I'll give you a new nation. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. And through my relationship with you, others will be blessed. I think that fell off the scroll because they kept God to themselves and we can. He's our God, not yours. You're a Gentile. You're the uncircumcised. And good, in a sense, Jews got it wrong. Some of them wouldn't even welcome a Gentile into the house because they say it would contaminate me. That's a great divide. That was the great divide. We got massive divides in our society. I don't have to tell you about them. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcision by those who call themselves the circumcision, because that's a sign of belonging that done in the body by the hands of me. Remember that at that time you were, and can you remember when you were not a Christian? It is helpful sometimes when you are a Christian to remember what your life was like when you weren't. This is what my life was like before the Lord rescued me. Remember at that time you were separate from Christ. Excluded from citizenship, foreigners to God's promises, without hope and without God. If you're having a tough time as a Christian, and it's tough living in a world and rebelling against God, and also you still got inside yourself singing my way and falling short, but remember what you've been saved from and what you are. I have to remember that I'm not separate from God anymore. I'm not excluded from citizenship. And if you've been a Christian 40, 50, 60 years, you get so blasé about this stuff like me. I'm not foreigners to all the promises of God. I'm not without hope. I'm not without God in the world. Praise the Lord. That's what I was like. Look at verse 12, another 13, another. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near. How? By the blood of Jesus. He shed the sinless Jesus sheds, and only he could do it, shed the blood for the sin-soaked Chris Knowles, that if I say thank you, Lord, for dying in my place, he takes my sin, and we can see that Jesus' sacrifice was acceptable to God. What did God do? He raised Jesus from death. He died my death, but then was raised to give me life. That's what God has done for you. If you're getting a bit same as a Christian, if the Christian life is really hard, just remember what he's done. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Dear saint, dear friend of mine is now in glory. I said to him, if you go before me, get the kettle on, I'll be up soon. And he said this. His favorite verse was 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might have the righteousness of God. You see, Chris was a cleverer bloke than me. Can I just do that? Just like do that? I act that out so you can get it. It's just brilliant. Look. It's called what the reformers call the great exchange. There's me, everyone, made in God's image. Everyone made in God's image to have a wonderful relationship with God. But in the garden, we blew it. And our sin created a barrier between us and God. We are separate from God and us. And we going our own way now. And we can't do anything about that. So what does God do? He couldn't wash his hands and say, well, it doesn't matter. I'll go on Mars and I'll try again. Because he loves us. My word, he loves us more than we can even think. He can't let us do that. But he can't pretend that, you know, there's no justice in the world. That's terrible. He's not a good God then at all, is he? So what does he do about this? Loving us to bits, seeing us walking our own way. He comes down in the person of Jesus who is sinless. He's got no barrier. He loves to obey God's will all the way. And what does Jesus do on the cross for those who would then put their trust in him? He takes my sin, your sin, on himself. He dies that death. And so we know that actually happened. Because if you remember Good Friday, he just looks dead, smashed to a bit of wood. And God raises him to wonderful life on that Sunday to prove that his death was acceptable. So of anyone who thanked him, of their sin forgiven. And not only that, this is the second half of it. He takes the penalty of my sin and gives me his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for Chris Knowles, that in Christ. That's what he made. So that now Chris in him might have the righteousness of God. As if he takes away my sin and gives us his righteousness. What that means is that when God now, if you're a Christian, if God looks at you and he knows, you know, all our sinful stuff, but in status terms, when God looks at you, this was only pointed out to me 3 years ago by a curate in our church. When God looks at you in status terms, he says, you are my beloved son and daughter in whom I am well pleased. And I think we need to know that because sensitive Christians, we know we let him down. But when he looks at us, he's not perennially disappointed in us. He's not perennially disappointed in this church. He says, you are my sons and daughters in whom I am well pleased. Now go and do the business for me. That's revolutionary, that, isn't it? And so, objects of wrath. What do they become? Take off that old t-shirt, put on a new one.
If you sit in this room now, you are struggling for the thoughts. Right? Better than the European Champions League, the man sitting by the hospital. God sees that. Not as good as I was going to be fine in any way. The best is ever part of it. All the energy's gone, the brain is gone. The best way is I've been able to work with things. They can't get hot in the basement before you start. The kids are all grown up. The best is all gone now. This is why that. You are my beloved son and daughter, in whom I am well pleased, and you are as well with my voice.
His trouble is of grace. And it's brilliant. For he has made, he himself, verse 14, is our peace, who made the two one and has destroyed that barrier between the Gentile and the Jew, the dividing wall of hostility, abolishing in his flesh the commands. His purpose was creating himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put their hostility to shame. In 1989, an incredible event happened in Europe.
The Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall separated East and West Berlin. Normally, we thought that all the people were in. And it was a terrible division of two. And we thought that would never come down because of rainbow holes in Spain. God brings people together. Look at this church. Look at yourself.
We live in a society that spends billions and cannot do it, what God has done here this morning. Look at the diversity, to use the jargon. It's brilliant, isn't it? But all one in Christ. And the challenge for us is that can we live like that, even though we come from a different part of the world, even perhaps our lifestyles are quite different, even if our mother tongue is different, can we live this to be that visual aid to our society, that God can do what people, human society, cannot do. So consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household, built on the foundation. What's the foundation of this? Is the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself, the cornerstone. So people from all backgrounds, the cornerstone of Jesus and who he is and what he says and what he wants us to do. And in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. A holy temple in the Lord. A dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. It's fantastic, isn't it? Only God can do that. And he's doing it through us. So keep going, brothers and sisters. Keep trusting. Keep living this new life from all your different backgrounds. Remember, I was just a last illustration. I went to a big conference some years ago in Nottingham. I don't know why they invited me. I think that was a short of numbers. I don't know. And on the Sunday afternoon, we were walking over. It was in the campus of Nottingham University. There were three of us walking, you know, enjoying the sunshine and praising God. We'd been through a fantastic service. And suddenly, I'm in the middle. It's Chris Knowles from a council estate in Harold Hill. That's where I grew up. To the left was a bloke called Mohammed who lived in the Yemen. I couldn't spell the Yemen, but it sounded very hot. And to the other side of me was a little Hindu who grew up in southern India. And we suddenly realized from those different diverse that we were brothers because Jesus had made us brothers. And now we're a little bit more flamboyant as us Brits from the council say, but we were just hugging and dancing and leaping. Because what God has done to bring us together, the objects of wrath have become trophies of grace, to be that visual aid of what God can do to bring people together in great joy and harmony, to live for him, to please God, to be the best for us, but also to show other people outside what God can do and will do. Folks like you and me. Sorry if I've gone on for a bit, but it is mind-blowing. Let's talk to him. Only God can do that. Let's talk to him. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Forgive me. I've been a Christian a long while, and I've taken it all a bit for granted after a while. But reminding me again what you have done, that we are here as trophies of your grace. And Lord, if there's anyone who's not quite said yes to Jesus, help them to do it now, today even. Get alongside a Christian here you can trust, so you can, so you're no longer a stranger, no longer excluded, no longer the promises aren't for you, no longer with no God and no hope, but with new life and a glorious future and present and a past forgiven. And help us, Lord, to live this out to your praise and glory in the ordinary things of this week. Amen. Can I just read? Sorry, I'll just read.
One line of this hymn. It's only a one verse hymn.
You might even know it. It's called As We Are Gathered. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here. Joined by the Spirit, washed in his blood, part of the body, the church of God. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here.